How can flight instructors teach and affect a safe mindset for students? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're going to finish up this week with the comments of another of the safety panelists from the Pilot Training Reform Symposium. Carol Jensen is a Cirrus instructor, and her presentation was called Using Higher Order Pilot Skills to Reduce Fatal Accident Risks.
The first thing I'm going to tell you is I'm an accidental pilot. I said accidental, not accident pilot. I fit right in that demographic segment of being between 40 and 60, and I won't tell you where. But unfortunately, many people can guess. But I've only been a pilot 8 years. I started 8 years ago, and I'll tell you, I won't go into the story behind it, but my first two instructors were absolutely awful. I think that I managed to not kill myself while I taught myself while they sat in the right seat. And as a result, I became very passionate about aviation, and in particular about instruction. And I was, in fact, a very, very nervous pilot. I didn't want to fly. I mean, I thought this was crazy. I thought it was dangerous. And what I've concluded is it's not dangerous, but you have to have the right mindset. So what I'm going to talk today about is using higher order pilot skills, okay? And I think you all know what that means. And since we're educators, we're talking about training, I'd actually rather talk about how we teach it, or maybe more importantly, how do we affect it in people? And to start with, I think we have to ask the question, can it be taught? And I think everyone in this room believes, yes, it can be taught. And what I want to do is I want to start out with a story about an accident that I think you are all familiar with. I'm on the board of directors of the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association. I'm a Cirrus flyer, Cirrus instructor. I own a Cirrus that I fly in, and I also own a Cirrus that I teach in. And one of the things that we recognized early on, you know, the tyranny of small numbers, and when the Cirrus came out in the early 2000s, was one accident made our statistics look utterly horrendous. And of course, with all the safety equipment on board, you know, it was another bonanza story, okay? It's people with too much money and not enough brains flying these planes. And it was about this time that I actually bought my first Cirrus. And in 2006, we had a rash of accidents that really made me angry. And they made me angry for a lot of different reasons. And this was one that, of course, got so much press because we had a very famous baseball player, okay, hitting a building, kind of remnant, you know, kind of reminiscent of 9/11 in Manhattan. During the course of the investigation, prior to the final report, the NTSB had a number of meetings, and this was an interim report that came out that I thought was so interesting. And notice the title of the accident is maneuvering. I think that's an important turn maneuver. But what came out of the report was very interesting, and I think it's really one of the reasons we're here today. First of all, the fact that judgment can be taught. Okay, that was a lot of the theme in that report. And I think perhaps the most one of the most important things was at the bottom there where it says making a plea to educators to please teach judgment and decision making. Now, I'll get back to this in a minute because I want to introduce this as an example of what we've begun to do within the Cirrus Owners and Pilots community and something I'm very passionate about, which is our critical decision making seminars. But then we can talk about how it can be taught. And somebody stole my thunder. I wanted to mention the hot stove thing. Experience is a great teacher. I mean, experience is one of those ways where you will develop judgment after you've experienced something. Unfortunately, it has a high cost, and we all know that this isn't the way we want to achieve experience. And so I think the scenario-based training methodology, of course, is the attempt to actually provide experience, okay, give people the experiences without having them pay the cost of the experience. I want to talk about hangar flying because we talked a little bit about the culture. And, of course, hangar flying can be a dangerous thing, okay, because you can sit around and basically celebrate the antics of someone out there flying in the icing conditions. And I've sat in hangars and listened to stories about people doing really scary things and surviving to tell us about it. But it can be effective, and I want to chat about that in a minute. The other thing I want to talk about is simulation. We all know that simulation is used extensively, obviously, in Part 121 and also for the larger aircraft. It's been very expensive, but we now have the opportunity to begin using much more affordable simulation in GA, but there are barriers to our using it, and I want to just briefly mention that at the end. And of course, the question of evaluation, how do you quantify or qualify? Okay, and I'm not going to even answer that question today, but I think it's one we need to think about, that we in fact know that we've affected, okay, the thinking change.
More with COPA's Carol Jensen in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Arrow News. Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220. Welcome back to the Arrow News special feature. We're listening to Carol Jensen of COPA and comments she presented to the Pilot Training Reform Symposium in Atlanta earlier this month.
I want to talk about, first of all, hangar flying. As I mentioned, this is a program that the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association developed probably in the early 2000s when the accident rates were looking so badly. Mike Radomski and Mason Holland, whom many of you know, were really instrumental in putting this together. But then it kind of died off. And in 2006, I went and had a ranting, raving, crazy meeting with Mike Radomski, who said, "Why don't you take it over?" So I did. And I've been doing it for 5 years. And I want to tell you a little bit about the program. Of course, we do scenario-based training extensively within the Cirrus community. And then in my business, Lima Romeo Aviation, and I'll talk briefly at the end, we have in fact purchased a Redbird full-motion simulator, and we're beginning to develop some very specific scenario-based training in that simulator for not only instrument pilots, where it's somewhat obvious, but also for private pilots. Okay, critical decision-making seminar. Let me tell you a little bit how we do this. First of all, it's not a seminar. I actually call it a hangar flying event, but it's very structured. We put together a series of presentations that facilitators around the country do. I update these materials every year, so I have once a year the horrible opportunity of going through every single Cirrus accident, fatal or non-fatal. But what we do is we, first of all, we review the statistics. We compare them, for example, to the general aviation population. But what we do that's most important is we pick out of those accidents somewhere between 10, 15, 20 accidents that teach something, and basically become the basis for case studies. And what the real focus of these meetings are is to sit and talk about how it happened. It's always very easy to be very judgmental. Oh, that person did this crazy thing. But the fact of the matter is in many instances we find people agonizing over their decisions before they make their decisions. And then they make their decisions and they kill themselves. So again, I want to go back to the Corey Lytle accident and remind you, if you hadn't seen it, what the NTSB probable cause was. And interestingly enough, they do comment about judgment here, but once again, it was referred to as a maneuvering accident. And if you get into a hangar flying situation, okay, one of the very first things people begin to talk about, they begin to calculate the angle and what happened, and they basically want to basically evaluate the maneuver itself. But we go a little further back, and we ask the question, how did it come about? And it's in this discussion, in a small group, where we find that we begin to get people to really think about and pay attention to how the decisions were made. And when we talk about risk management, one of the things we need to really think about is why people don't actually employ risk management. I can guess that most of these people can recite I'm safe and PAVE checklists and 5P checklists, okay, but they don't understand why they need to do this. And this is where we begin to personalize. This is the experiential basis. We personalize this. And so in a typical kind of case study way, we get people to come around to the question of exactly what went on. Now, this may or may not have happened, but it begins to personalize it for them, makes them think about how they'd make this decision. One of the results here might be, gee, do you know the CFI that you're flying with? Is he or she someone who is safe? We have several accidents where the CFI agonized before the flight and about the weather, for example, that they were taking their client on, and they ultimately hurt themselves. So the CFI actually knew not to do the flight or agonized over the flight, but took the flight anyway. So these are some of the things that we do. And these are, in fact, very effective. And then we teach people how to use the risk mitigation. We take these flights and go down a risk mitigation list and talk about what they could have done simply to mitigate it, not necessarily not take the flight, but mitigate it. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the use of full motion simulators. And just real briefly, we began talking about this. I think this is going to come out a lot later. We all know that they're great for doing instrument procedures. We're very effective. What we've begun at Lima Romeo Aviation in Central Texas is actually putting together, right now we have a 5 one-hour lessons that go into our private pilot syllabus, and we actually expose these pilots to these things. Okay, so obstacles and challenges. Okay, one of the biggest obstacles is really in our flight instructor community, will they use tools that will effectively teach? Many of the flight instructors that I know that don't want to use these are because they're building time. Okay, this is not time in the plane.
At this point, time for the presentation ran out. Carol Jensen is a flight instructor and serves on the board of the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association. Find out more about the organization on the web at cirruspilots.org. Find out more about the Pilot Training Reform Symposium at pilottrainingreform.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. This AeroCast and our long-form Aero briefing will be off next week, so I can take a few days vacation. Following the Monday Memorial Day holiday in the U.S., Jim Campbell will produce the short-form Touch and Go Tuesday through Friday to keep you up to date on major news stories. We'll be back to a normal schedule on Monday, June 6th. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.